This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by AgriEdge Excelsior from Syngenta for resourceful growers seeking to enhance productivity. All right, the push is on. Travelers are hitting the road in record numbers. Turkeys are soaking in billions of gallons of brine. And everybody is checking the crisper to see if they've got romaine lettuce in their fridge. Hey, it's a busy day on the day before Thanksgiving.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody, on this day before Thanksgiving. Yep, a serious note here. The Centers for Disease Control is warning everybody to take romaine lettuce off the menu for this Thanksgiving. A particularly strong variant of E. coli seems to be infecting the supply of romaine. And they are basically saying, listen, if you've got it in the fridge, get it out of there and dispose of it properly. Not much going on in the grain and livestock markets so far this morning. A little bit of strength coming into the beans now. And I don't think that a lack of activity should be any surprise. The market is coming up on something that it almost never has to deal with, and that is four consecutive days with no trade. Okay, I'm calling it no trade. I know that the markets are open on Friday, but volume on the day after Thanksgiving has gotten so low that many traders just turn it into a four-day weekend. And nobody wants to be exposed to the market developments for four consecutive days without a way out of the position. So there's been a fair amount of position evening already, and they'll wrap up that process pretty soon, and the market should be very quiet until next week from this point forward. Okay, I'd like to say that the three guys on today's Farmer Forum are all wrapped up with harvest, but I honestly don't know if they are or not. We'll find out in a bit. Don Lamb from Indiana, Quentin Bowen from Nebraska, Tony Melanthan from Wisconsin are on the Farmer Forum today. We'll talk about harvest, trade deals, markets, decisions that they have to make before the end of the year, sustainability in agriculture. It's going to be an interesting conversation on today's AgriTalk. And, of course, we want you to be part of it. Give us a call, 855-4TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. If you'd rather let us know what you're thinking via Twitter, just include hashtag AgriTalk in your tweet. That way I'll be sure to see it. All right. Right now, let's turn it over to Betsy Gibbon and get an update on the news. What's going on, Betsy?
Hey, Chip. Well, I'll tell you one thing. My dad in South Dakota is not done harvesting. Yeah. I don't know about these guys and where they're located, but dad was harvesting corn last night when I called him, and so he's not done. It won't be a wrap-up before Thanksgiving this year.
Yep. Everybody shoots for it. Heck, Betsy, I remember when I was young, we were running a two-row picker. Okay.
Whoa, that dates you a little bit.
You're welcome.
Did they
have
TVs back then?
But I'm telling you, the goal at that time was to get wrapped up by Thanksgiving, and we'd push like heck to get it done. Well, people have pushed like heck to get it done this year, and it's not going to happen for a lot of guys.
It's interesting, though, because when I did talk with daddies in southeast South Dakota, okay, so you know how those yields are going to be in that area, too, but he said this field he harvested last night, he planted it the last week in May. It was late. He found that it's 17% moisture right now, test weight 56 pounds, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
He said yield, not his best field for this year. It's at 162 BPA. But he said, you have to remember, we had snow three times in April.
Yeah.
That he is ecstatic with that because of all the rain they had during the growing season and the snow in April. I don't know. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how it can stand out in the field. No question about it. So, hey, what's going on with the news?
All right. With the news, John Deere out with its fourth quarter earnings. Earnings for the fourth quarter increased 54%, with sales rising 18% to $8.3 billion. Company leaders say farm machinery sales in America made further gains along with construction equipment sales. But They say the company continues to face cost pressures when it comes to raw materials such as steel. Doesn't seem to be any surprise there.
Yeah.
No. This was, I thought was really interesting. I was reading the Des Moines Register over located in Iowa, of course, this morning, and they were talking about 4-H programs and how LGBT is affecting that. So what they said in this article is there's a proposed policy, keyword proposed, that welcomed LGBT members to 4-H clubs, and that policy has been removed in some states, including Iowa. This comes after the initial policy prompted fiery opposition from conservative groups. The initial policy was designed to try to make LGBT members feel protected by their local 4-H programs. Register reporting that they were told the language needed to be overturned for this policy, and now as a result, I was 4-H director, an advocate for the policy, was now fired. So it's interesting because it's not something you normally think about, or at least I don't anyway, when you associate that with 4-H.
With 4-H?
Yeah.
That seems like that's pushing it just a little bit too much.
And I know it's a proposed policy, but I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. Now, I wanted to share it on the radio.
Listen, equal rights. I'm all for it, but I don't know why anybody's sexuality should be an issue when we're talking about enrolling in 4-H.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it.
So, I don't know. It's something we'll have to follow. I know that was dropped in Iowa, this proposed policy. It was dropped somewhere else, too. Huh. But something interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Betsy. Well, thanks for giving me a brow wrinkler to think about.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot or anything, but...
All right,
Betsy. Have a happy Thanksgiving, Chip.
You too. You too. Thank you. Hey, let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, the editor of AgPro. Margie, how are you today?
Doing well, Chip. Ready to chow down on some turkey tomorrow.
Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, it seems like there's always something going on in the weed-killing business. What's the latest on dicamba?
Yeah, so, you know, we got the updated dicamba label on October 31st. We were told and kept being told that the EPA was going to release something in October, so they did the final day. And that extends over-the-top dicamba application in cotton and soybeans until December 20th of 2020. Now, the new label has changes from the one that we had the past year. Really, those kind of boil down to 8 main points. A couple of them are still having people scratch their heads and digging in for some more clarifications. Notably, the new label states that only certified applicators may apply dicamba over the top. So that's a change in that those working under the supervision of a certified applicator may no longer make applications. Additionally, there's some language in the frequently asked questions the EPA distributed that said non-certified personnel may not perform any activities with dicamba products, including mixing and loading. Both of those tenets are things that the ARA, the Ag Retailers Association, is looking into, and I'll be at their annual meeting next week and probably doing some follow-up reporting.
Wow. Based on what you just told us, Margie, is that unless you're a certified applicator, don't even touch it.
You know, it's interesting. We had 4 weed scientists put out a bulletin within the past couple of weeks, and they actually shared some additional considerations, 5 additional recommendations for those applying dicamba. So all of this information is available on agprofessional.com, and it's something we're going to continue to report.
Margie, good stuff. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Chip, to you and all our listeners as well.
All right. That is Margie Eckelkamp, editor of AgPro. We got the Farmer Forum coming up next on AgriTalk.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the 1.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
It takes a degree in electronics just to work on your truck. You have to boot up 3 monitors to start planting. And watching TV? Well, that requires four different remotes. Yep, it's not the best time for people who enjoy simple. But we're doing our part to change that. Corteva Agriscience, the agriculture division of Dow DuPont, introduces the all-new True Choice offer. Now, this is simple. When you buy Pioneer brand seed, you earn Corteva cash that's immediately available for you to redeem at your crop protection retailer. Use that Corteva cash on more than 100 crop protection products. That's it. No waiting for a rebate, no digital fingerprinting necessary. Just a straightforward offer in an overly complicated world. Ask your local Pioneer sales representative or your crop protection retailer about True Choice. New, simple, now.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
One of the key missions of Syngenta is to help growers not only increase their return on investment, but also their sustainability and to enable them to show proof of it downstream. The Sustainable Solutions arm of the Digital Ag Solutions team handles that mission. We're joined now by Jackie Davis, the technical data lead for the Digital Ag Solutions team. Jackie, can you explain exactly how your team is working with growers?
So Syngenta Sustainable Solutions is a group here within Syngenta that works very passionately around growers in their decision-making process. So we work a lot towards data collection, understanding what the practices are on the grower's field. We also work with enabling tools, capabilities, and functionality so that they have the tools that help to enable the decision-making on the field.
For more information on Sustainable Solutions, head over to syngentaus.com/sustainable solutions.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, Farmer Focused Podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. It's brought to you by Nutrient Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
I'm talking with Brad Walk of Seagull, Illinois, who tried Poncho Votivo 2.0 this growing season. Brad, is Poncho Votivo 2.0 going to be back on your farm again next year?
I plan to plant the Poncho Votivo 2.0 in 2019 because of the results from this year. Exceptional stock health and yield. Comparing Poncho Votivo 2.0 to other varieties without it, I could see more girth in the ears. I could see kernel depth was a little better. We did have a yield trial on 8 rows, a quarter mile long, had an average of 302 bushels per acre on an independent weigh wagon. And those are dry bushels. And then we had a competitor that was 292.
Oh, okay. So you broke through 300 bushels with Poncho Votivo?
It's pretty crazy. It's just a great feeling. It's just, you've been working your whole life to try to hit that number. It's just always kind of felt like, something that may never happen. And this year it's opened up a lot of eyes.
So what about the kernel depth? That had to be the difference.
Oh, that's big. It's huge. It's the test weight really adds to the yield, and just the girth of the ear. The kernel depth is huge. So that just all adds up. You need all the help you can get to 300 bushels.
So how did Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn stand up to the weather that you had this year?
We've had several windstorms here. The stalks with Poncho Votivo 2.0 seem to be standing a lot better. In the combine, you can see down the row a good quarter mile, no stalk disintegration or cannibalism. It's just a good feeling to know that the combine's not going to have to slow down, and very hardy corn, good standability.
So how much are you going to plant next year?
Planting Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year, I've found at least a 10 bushel per acre difference. I mean, 10 bushels per acre, that's at least $35 an acre. That just carries over all the acres and really adds up. That's a huge benefit for our bottom line. Next year, I plan to plant nearly 100% of my acres in Poncho Votivo 2.0.
Get the Poncho Votivo 2.0 yield advantage for 2019. Talk to your BASF seed representative. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Let's get this Farmer Forum started. Bring the guys in with some harvest reports. You know what? We're going to go ahead and start over in the Eastern Belt. We've got Don Lamb from Indiana on the line with us. Don, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. How's things looking over your way? Have you got things wrapped up?
We have things wrapped up here on our farm. It's a beautiful day here. A good week to celebrate Thanksgiving. It has not been. There is still quite a bit of crop out in this area, so I want to be a little careful how I talk, because I think we had a pretty good fall and we had some great yields, and yet it has been a real struggle just physically getting it done. Just enough moisture keeps hanging on. It's making it tough, and we've got a lot of down crops. So it's been a challenge, but man, our harvest went well, and we had really good yields, and we're really thankful for that.
Good deal, Don. That's really encouraging to hear that. Now, you're a hog producer too, right, Don?
Nope.
No, you're not. I'm sorry. I had that down as a note here, but got that wrong.
No,
sorry.
Back in my college days, but I'm out of that.
Well, man, I tell you, it's good to hear that you're looking at, number one, that you got things wrapped up. Number two, that it was a pretty doggone good season for you. And I think, you know, Don, when you look back at 2018 and the growing season that we've had, it's hard to find something that really went wrong in 2018, isn't it?
Right. No, it really is. And I don't want to beat this drum too hard, but just really being thankful for the way, you know, the bottom line is God just blessed us with a great year, because the price was going to be low no matter what, you know. Yeah. I think we were just stuck with that one, and you can't control either side of the equation. So to have the yields that help offset that has been a major blessing. And you're right, it went very well. Now here, like I say, we've had a lot of down crops. That was the one flaw, especially if you didn't use fungicide this year and some things like that. It's been a little bit hard, but the yields have really made up for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Let's go to the middle of the country, upper Midwest, Wisconsin, and Tony Melanthin. Tony, welcome back to the Farmer Forum. How are you today?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Did you get things wrapped up there?
Yeah. We just wrapped up here on Monday night is when we finally finished up.
I'm surprised to hear that, Tony, to be honest with you. I thought maybe you'd still be struggling to get things done, but because it was a struggle, wasn't it?
Boy, this year was just one for the record books for that. I mean, we got wrapped up Monday night. There's still a lot of crop out there, lots of corn. I mean, there's still a fair amount of beans, and I mean, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and there's still beans out there, and that's not an easy feeling for anybody who has that. I know that's for sure, but overall, you know, the yields are doing good. We're definitely above APH, slightly below last year, but last year was a outstanding year for us. So, it's pretty hard to complain about the yields that we're pulling.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, did you have any experience, Tony, with the? Okay, we got bean harvested, and then we got into a couple of weeks delay, and then had to pick bean harvest back up after that. I mean, what I'm looking for is any idea of how many bushels were left in the field because of some of the delays?
That's hard to put a number on, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, on average across here, you know, 3 to 5 bushel per acre on beans. Yeah. Pretty easy. I mean, most of the beans got snowed on at least twice before they were combined, and I know I was looking at some. We had a stretch of 10 days that was just sopping wet weather, and we were fortunate here in my part of Wisconsin. No beans were breaking out of the pods or anything, but you break them open, they were just about ready to germinate in there. Yeah. And I know some guys just to the south of me, they lost quite a bit more than us because they had all kinds of beans on the ground when they went out to combine. They're just breaking out the pods.
Yeah. Tough situation, no doubt. Okay, let's go over to the Western Belt. We've got Quentin Bowen over there in Nebraska. How are you, Quentin? How are things going over there?
I'm doing well, Chip. Thanks for asking. And congratulations on that grandbaby.
Hey, thanks, man. Yep. I'm going to be heading up past Tony's place tonight on my way up to see that grandbaby for the holidays. So, yeah.
Well, be sure to tell everybody up there how well the Bears are doing.
I think Tony and Don both have got a pretty good idea, as I know Tony does. So, Quentin, you got any corn left in the field?
Yeah. I'm sitting here. I had to turn the business band down because I don't want anybody hollering about why the combine's not moving. But I'm going to drop the corn head off, and I'm hoping we can finish our soybeans this afternoon. And then after the snowstorm that's coming and the rainstorm this weekend, I think we've got just shy of 1,000 acres of corn left to pick.
Oof. So, okay.
I've never farmed in December before, but it looks like I might get to this year.
But you're going to get to do it this year. Now, remind everybody, Quentin, you're a dryland grower over there in Nebraska, right?
Yes, yes. I'm in the southeast corner of Nebraska. I'm about to, where I'm sitting in the machine right now, I'm probably 10 miles, not even 10 miles from the Kansas border. And,
gotcha.
And I'm just west of Fall City, so I'm real close to Missouri, too.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Now, when you and I were together at Husker Harvest Days, Quentin, you were pretty optimistic on what that crop was going to do, but the wind was blowing that day. It was hot that day. It felt like maybe we were taking the steam out of the crop, but, man, how did it perform for you this year?
Well, with every rain we had in August, our hopes were getting better on the soybean crop, you know. And the way it turned out, I remember making a comment to you about I didn't know where the kernel depth that came from on this corn, but it was there.
Yeah.
And boy, was it. We've got some places that the dry land corn was just outstanding. And then, of course, as we get south dip into Kansas, it burned up, you know, and we're looking at 80 to 100 bushel corn there. But we have some farms north of where I live that dryland farms that broke 200. So that's the variance just in the 25 or 30 miles that we farm north to south that we've seen this year.
My goodness gracious. That is some variability, no question about it. Well, we want to talk about some other issues, so I'm going to wrap up our harvest reports with, again, Don, Tony, I'm glad that you guys are wrapped up, and Quentin, like you said, you may have never farmed in December before, but if you've got 1,000 acres left with the way the weather forecast looks, you're going to be seeing what it's like to do a little bit of that in December. It's a Farmer Forum. We are talking with Tony Melanthan from Wisconsin, Quentin Bowen from Nebraska, and Don Lamb here on AgriTalk. Sustainability, what does it mean to these guys? We're going to talk about that next here on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, you know, you look at these markets, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of activity going on, but we do have some strength in beans. What's happening there?
Well, the bean market was lower overnight, and we get to the daytime session, and the selling dried up, and we've seen some buyers return. You know, it's light trade ahead of the holiday, and, you know, who knows where it's going from here, but they continue to look to the trade side for any kind of clues, and it looks like the meeting will happen at the end of the month in early December between Trump and China's president. And maybe there'll be some positive outcomes from that. So it's kind of wait and see mode right now, and just choppy price action overall.
Yeah, and that choppiness in the bean market and the soy complex, I mean, it's reflected in corn and wheat trade today as well.
Yeah, the corn market's just fractionally firmer so far this morning. The wheat market, we're seeing a little bit of price pressure to the tune of 1 to 2 cents in most of the winter wheat contracts, and then spring wheat futures are slightly firmer. So some intra-market spreading going on there in the wheat market this morning.
Yeah, the spring wheat market all of a sudden is acting like it has decided that it needs to attract a few acres for 2019. Got a little bit of strength going in the cattle complex.
Still waiting on cash cattle trade there. We do have the cattle on feed report coming up here in just a half an hour. So they moved that up because of the holiday. So we'll get that and get to trade that before traders move out for Thanksgiving. But a little bit of price strength in there. And then the hog market, we're seeing a little bit of follow-through pressure. Slight to moderate weakness in those contracts this morning.
All right, Beach. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, buddy. That is Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Win a Ford F-150 Raptor in the Ag Explorer Truck Sweepstakes. Enter at trucksweeps.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Before we get back to the Farmer Forum, let's make time for this industry spotlight. And joining us is Jason Derschmidt from Fort Dodge, Iowa. Jason, I got to know, did you notice any difference in plant health with the Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year?
We did. Late season, we're still seeing a healthy plant standing good. It's got some green to it yet, and we're pretty late in the season now at this point. So, yeah, we've definitely seen better plant health. Everything stood good through the summer. We had a pretty wet year and quite a few decent wind events, 50, 60-mile-an-hour winds, and we didn't see any lodging or any tipping at the roots or anything. So, yeah, definitely very good plant health.
Boy, and with the growing season that you've had up there in north central Iowa, Jason, that's saying a lot, no question about it. Okay, you've still got some crop out in the field, but you've started to bring that corn crop in. Are you seeing any yield differences with Poncho Votivo 2.0?
We did. We've seen about 5 to 10 bushel over anything else we've been in. So, and we're running 1250 on everything else. So I'd say we're picking up another probably 5 bushel at least on the 2.0.
Yeah, so you got plans to use more PV 2.0 for next year?
I do. I plan to use it on everything.
And what is the big reason? What does PV 2.0, what does it really give you? Is it the protection against the nematodes?
It is. It's that and early season plant health and a better uptake of nutrients. I mean, it's just an all-around healthier looking plant.
Yeah, and again, if those yield differences, we're talking about some real money. And a great return on your investment.
Yeah, and not just the yield, the plant health late in the season. We've had a lot of corn lodge this year. I mean, a lot of stuff that didn't have the root structure that it needed to withstand the wet weather and the wind. And the 2.0 definitely stood and had better plant health than anything else we've had.
That's great to hear, Jason. Thank you so much. That's Jason Derschmidt from Fort Dodge, Iowa. All right, and welcome back to the Farmer Forum. We've got Tony Mellenthin from Wisconsin, Quentin Bowen from Nebraska, Don Lamb from Indiana. Now, Don, when I said something about at the end of the last segment about let's talk about sustainability and farming, I got to know. Well, and, you know, I want to know from Quentin and from Tony, too. Did you guys roll your eyes when I mentioned this as a topic?
I didn't roll my eyes. No, I'm very used to that word. I'm used to that question. And so I didn't roll my eyes. In fact, I just started sitting there scratching down notes, you know, and thinking, reminding myself of what does that mean to me. And I think it's something that, we don't necessarily want to hear that word, but we're all getting pretty used to it.
Yeah. You know, and the reason that I'm bringing it up, guys, is because recently, I believe it was the NCBA, the Pork Producers, and the United Soybean Board, signed a joint memorandum of understanding, okay, where they are going to be pursuing an effort where they can verify sustainability. And Tony, I think the reason that they're talking about verifying sustainability is because Quentin knows it, you know it, Don knows it. Farming is sustainable as it is. We just have a hard time telling the story to consumers out there just how sustainable it is. Right, Tony?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Chip. I mean, modern agriculture has never been more, is the most sustainable, farming has ever been. And we have that disconnect out there right now with our consumers. And we need to eliminate that disconnect. And if we can market and able to better communicate that we're sustainable, not only is that going to help our farms just from, regulatory issues, but also possibly and hopefully a higher price for our products. We all know labeling, and if you can put something that's sustainable and have a way to define it, there's a good chance you might be able to bring a premium for it.
Yeah. Don, he just used a term there that I think is very important, and that is defining that sustainability. You said you were scratching some things down. What's on your list?
Well, I think the first thing is the first thing about sustainability is you got to be profitable. You got to survive financially. So you can't kill yourself financially. But let me tell you a little story about how we deal with it. There's a company called Ingredion. It used to be National Starch. They've got a place here in Indianapolis. They've got another place in Kansas City. We sell waxy corn to them. They require us now to track everything we do producing that corn crop that's going to be sold to them for a premium, like you mentioned. And if we want that premium, then we tell them what we do all the way down from how many miles from our field to the grain bin it is, as far as fuel and what harvest moisture we harvest at, as far as using gas to dry, all those things, every bit of fertilizer, chemistry, everything we use, we track it all. And the reason that I'm okay with it is they have convinced us, in our case, we're as good as anybody gets. It's just like what, I can't remember if it was Tony or Quentin that said that. We are really good here at producing things. So if we, in this case, if we're willing to belly up and say we'll compete and give them the information, our information makes us look pretty good.
Yep. Quentin, are you involved?
Production.
Yeah. Quentin, are you involved in any efforts like that over there in Nebraska?
Well, first off, Chip, when you talk about sustainability, when you dropped that on us before you went to the break, it seems to me we're behind the eight ball from the get-go when we allow this premise to be dictated to us. I mean, we're arguing about facts that aren't facts. We're trying to prove that we're sustainable against, say, organic, but we're beyond sustainable. We create an abundance, and words don't mean what they actually mean when we sit there and try to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
When you say sustainable farming, the image that is that is conjured up is not actual. And we sit there and argue that premise. And how do we overcome that? Because the fact is, we are sustainable. We're more than sustainable. These farms have been farmed for generations, and they're producing more with less than they were 50 years ago, every year, 5 years ago.
And with a lower environmental impact.
That's right. That's right. I mean, our focus is on improving organic matter, improving every aspect of production to have it better than we found it.
Yeah. You know,
that is sustainable.
Yeah, Tony, Quentin makes a great point when he says that image that is conjured up when you say sustainable farming. For the consumers out there, that means, you know, the guy in the bib overalls holding the pitchfork and, you know, the wheat straw coming out of his mouth, all that. For a lot of consumers, that's what they see when they hear the word sustainability. In reality, like Quentin is talking about, I mean, it's using every piece of technology that is available to us. And when you're talking about technology and farming, this is a huge investment that we're making in the future of agriculture.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And like you said, the consumers, their you know, picture of sustainable compared to what, you know, today's modern farm is and what, you know, sustainable really is are different right now. And we need to close that gap, and you know, I'm not sure the best way to do it, but I know over the last year, you know, I've hosted, you know, a handful or more different groups out at our farm, and you know, once you just show them and explain to them why you do what you do, why that helps, you know, environmental sustainability, whether it's soil erosion, water quality, air quality, a light bulb kind of comes on, and they get it. They understand it. But, you know, to somebody who's, you know, we're talking, was it the average American, I believe, is three generations off the farm now?
Yeah, something like that.
They just don't know. I mean,
yep.
We have HSUS and groups like that who are trying to paint a bad light. That's the few. The majority just don't know, and it takes that educational effort, and we need to figure out the best way to do that.
Yeah.
Hey, Chip.
Yeah.
Can I jump in there? But don't you think that the real problem here, though, is the wholesaler, the Walmarts, the Subways, the companies that are pandering to ignorance of the consumer is where the real problem lies. And, you know, a year or two ago, when was it Subway said that they were no longer going to buy any chicken or any beef unless it was, you know, raised a certain way, yada, yada,
right.
yada. And then they were going to do it by 2022 or whatever. You know,
they're
pandering because they know that what is perceived as sustainable is not, because they couldn't produce that. They couldn't meet all their needs buying the meat that way if they had to. And and it's bunk, really.
Yeah.
So how do you beat that?
Well, there is something to what you're saying here, Quentin, because it is a consumer-driven effort in many cases. Now, are some of those consumers out there, have they raised issues that are false, that are misleading, that are based on just simply not understanding the process? Absolutely. Are they asking for something that is already available to them, they just didn't know it? I think that's the case as well. So when Don is going through all the efforts of verifying the sustainability of that corn that he's delivering, I think it's a direction that we're all going, don't you, Don?
Oh yeah, and that's exactly the point. Their customers, whether it's Pepsi or Nestle or whoever it is, our corn makes a lot of corn starch. Our corn is being advertised to somebody as raised sustainably. So, in a way, we're fitting into the mold and we're making a little extra money for it. I don't like it, but we are a part of the game.
Yep, no doubt. Quentin, your point is well taken, though. No doubt about it. Okay, guys, when we come back, here's the question I'm going to ask you. What'd you learn from 2018 that you're going to put to work for you in 2019? What did you learn in 2018 that you're going to put to work for you in 2019? That's next on the Farmer Forum.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
When you think of Palmer amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action, so you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Farmers are busy harvesting across the country, and most are using the data they collect to evaluate the outcome of the products and the inputs that were used on each field this year. Channel seedsman Adam Piggott from Cleghorn, Iowa, is here to tell us about the Channel Field Checkup Series using field data and the Channel Custom Crop Report. Adam, give us an overview of the Channel Field Checkup Series.
The Field Checkup Series is a series of on-farm visits conducted by a seedsman during crucial stages such as seedling, vegetative, reproductive, and maturity stages. Seedsmen utilize Climate Field View to collect the data so they can include very crucial information and share that with the grower.
So you've got all this data coming in from the field. How do the channel seedsmen then turn that around and put it to use for their growers?
Seedsmen are using digital tools such as Climate Field View for the Channel Field Checkup Series to really help us document observations from farmers' fields and to communicate that through digital technology to the grower.
All right, tell me a little bit more about Field View and how the Channel Field Checkup Series works.
First, the farmer needs to share his data through Field View with his channel seedsman. The seedsman will then compile all the data throughout the season and create a custom crop report to send to that grower. That crop report can really be sent at any time. I like to send my custom crop reports after collecting all the data through the season and get that to the guys after the maturity stage of Field Checkup Series.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks, Adam. Next time we'll hear more about how the Channel Custom Crop Report is used to begin planning for next season's crops. Farmers can learn more about the Channel Field Checkup Series at channel.com. And you can find Channel on Twitter and Facebook. Just search Channel Seed.
Maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season with ProSaro Fungicide from Bayer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Lorre. It is a Farmer Forum on this Wednesday edition of AgriTalk. We're talking with Don Lamb from Indiana, Quentin Vaughn from Nebraska, and Tony Melanthan up in Wisconsin. Tony, I've been meaning to ask you, between Durand and Menominee, there is a barn on the east side of the road. I think it says Melanthan Farms on it. Is that your family?
Yeah, that's my family. It's not where my parents live, you know, where the farm is. But, yeah, that's a farm that's been in the family for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, and I said barn because I think that's what's in my mind, or, you know, that's how I'm picturing it. But it could be a corn crib, right?
No, yeah, it's actually just an old, small wooden shed.
Okay, yeah.
But it's, you know, painted red like all the dairy barns around here. So.
Yep, it's very cool. Very cool. So, Don, that question that I was asking there at the end of the last segment, what did you learn from your farm in 2018 that you're going to put to work in 2019? What was that this year?
First thing that stands out is be ready for weather challenges and be ultra prepared when it comes time to plant and to harvest to get it done timely. This year was just, you know, we planted everything in 2 weeks. We harvested everything, you know, got along pretty good because we really hit it hard, and that beat some of the challenges on the down corn and the soybeans that are still in the field. I think farmers in the future need to be willing to hire some custom work if they need to, or at least have something in their back pocket they can pull out, you know, if they need to work together a little bit in areas if somebody's a little over-equipped. But I just think the timeliness of the field operations this year was really, really big. And it could pay off big or it could hurt you big. And that was my number one thing I thought of.
Well, that is awesome stuff right there, because, you know, I'll be honest, Don, I was going to say, well, what are you going to do next year that might be different? But, yeah, you may be looking to hire some of that work done custom or working together with the neighbors, make sure that you get things done exactly when it needs to be done. Pretty critical. Let's go over to the Western Belt. Quentin over in Nebraska, what'd you learn this year that you're going to put to work for next year?
Well, actually three things. The first one is kind of like he said, I would like to hire more combines, more custom cutters. I'd like to sell more calls than I buy. And I don't know. I think I told you before I had a daughter. I got a 3-month-old daughter, and I got an 11-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son, and things just have really been put in perspective for me this year. I've farmed with my family for about 20 years now. I got to farm with my grandpa the first 5 years of it, and you know, my dad and my uncle, they're getting older, and when you see the time differences, you just kind of put it in perspective. Things won't always be the way they are now, and you got to enjoy it, you know, and, you know, 10 years goes by so quick that, if my kids don't want to farm, I'll be out here banging it out by myself. And how fun will that be? Just enjoy 19 more than 18 was enjoyed, even though it was a good year.
Good stuff, Quentin. Good stuff. Tony, what'd you learn this year that you're going to put to work next year?
Yeah, I think one of the big things is don't think you're smarter than the market. You know, we had a pretty good opportunity to hedge some beans early in the year before any of this tariff talk, and we did a pretty good job. I mean, hindsight 2020, maybe a little more should have been done, but gosh darn it, if that opportunity arises, you know, with the market, you know, that we're in right now, if an opportunity arises to get a good price, you know, we better jump on it and jump on it hard. I mean, if you can sell for a profit, we better be cleaning out the grain bins. But otherwise, other than that, you know, sometimes, you know, you're out there growing a crop and it needs more fertilizer, more water, more, some fungicide. And you're looking at the price of corn and you wonder if it's worth it. Well, at least in our opinion, the best way to survive in these times is make sure you get the yield, the best yield that you can. So make sure you don't short the crop anything, whether it's, like I said, water, fertilizer, fungicide, crop protection products. I mean, we got to get the yield to make it through these low commodity prices. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And we can't let the bad days where you see corn goes down 20 cents, we can't change our decisions on those days.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Good stuff, you guys. My gosh. Tony, while you were talking there, you said something about when this market does get back to break even, that we need to be taking advantage of it. Rhonda Brooks, the editor of Farm Journal, asked me to do a quick piece for on looking forward to 2019. And if you're going to make an investment in something, where would you make the investment? Well, I kind of joked around and said, you know, the first thing I'd do is get a foot massager, because I don't know if you guys have ever used one or not, but those rollers and those inflatable pillows and everything, it just drains the tension out of me. Okay, so that's number one. But the second thing I said was invest in some software that on a real-time basis will set off fireworks, set off alarms, set off sirens, set off flashing lights, will set it all off when you get back to break even on corn and on soybeans. Because it does feel like one of those years as we get going into it that, like you said, Tony, we had a great opportunity. I wish I would have been more aggressive in saying, listen, you got to take advantage of this. Although we did, you always look back at those opportunities that you missed, or maybe you didn't miss them completely. You just didn't take advantage of them quite enough to get things done. You guys, I can't believe we're out of time. Happy Thanksgiving, Don. Thanks so much for making the time.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, Quentin, be safe out there getting things done. Happy Thanksgiving, and enjoy that new baby. And Tony, I'll wave as I'm passing by later this afternoon, man.
Sounds good, Chip. Have a happy Thanksgiving with your new addition to the family. So
you bet. You bet I will. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Come back this afternoon. I'll be talking the market action and risk management with John Payne from Daniels Trading. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Spray nozzles are some of the smallest and most overlooked pieces of equipment on a sprayer, but they can have the biggest impact on accuracy, efficiency, and drift potential. Worn nozzles can change distribution patterns and cause under or over application, potentially impacting your bottom line. Now's a great time to replace your worn nozzles. Save 10% on John Deere spray nozzles, only available at your local John Deere dealer. Offer ends February 28th, 2019. See your participating dealer for details.
Thanks to AgriEdge Excelsior for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative to connect with an AgriEdge specialist in your area.